So Tavshin Ayin Dalet. So let's talk about the following pasuk in Perik Yutet, pasuk Dalet. It says the following: Atem Riisem, Asher Asisi L'Mitzrayim. You saw what I did to the Egyptians. Vo'etzo Eschem Al Kanfei Nesharim. I lifted you up on the wings of eagles. Vo'avi Eschem Eloi, and then I brought you to me. I lifted you up on the wings of eagles in order to come to me. Now there's lots of different perushim on this pasuk. What it means by eagles' wings and bringing Klal Yisrael from Egypt to wherever they were supposed to go. What the eagle wings mean. As a side note, there is an idea that we're not going to go through, that in the future, by the times of Mashiach, we're all going to fly to Israel on eagle's wings. That is not going to be a part of this conversation. We're not going to get into that today. That's another issue altogether. What we are going to try to explain is, number one, what Rashi's talking about. We're going to talk about what an eagle is and why we're mentioning it, and other issues that come up with this. Now, as another side note, I don't want to hear any talk from anybody who's a big enough nerd to know that Nesher really isn't translated as an eagle. Okay, I don't want to hear that. If somebody comes up to me and says, it's okay. If somebody comes up to me and says, a Nesher really isn't an eagle because of the simanim that are there in Chulin and Daf Samach, I agree with you. There might be a little bit of a problem. For all intents and purposes, I am considering a Nesher an eagle, not a griffin vulture, not another type of crazy bird out there. For me, it's an eagle, period. Okay, we're just leaving it as that. And when God comes at the end of days and tells us what an eagle really is, what a Nesher really is, I'll deal with it then. So for right now, this is a Nesher. Okay? Rashi says the following. When we left Mitzrayim, when we left Egypt, on those days, they came to a city called Ramses. That area called Ramses. From Ramses, they went to a city called Sukkot, from one to the other. So they traveled from where they were in Goshen to Ramses, from Ramses to Goshen. They went there as if it took them a second. They went there so quickly, even though the distance from Ramses to Sukkot is 120 mil, which is give or take about 65 miles, and they're walking on foot. Nonetheless, they got there so quickly, they were able to travel there in an hour. It was as if, Rashi says, as if they went on eagle's wings, meaning they went swiftly the way it was supposed to be. I just got held up right over there. They went swiftly as if it was on eagle's wings. That's how they went through. The Mizrahi says it refers to how quickly they could fly. That's what they ended up going. And you should know, says the Mizrahi, there's a lesson in all this. That when a person flies through the air, so to speak, going from one place to the other, it shows them how they were able to perfect themselves in such a short amount of time. Let's think for a second. They're on the 49th level of Tumah. They got up to the 49th level of Kedusha when they got to Har Sinai. How do you jump so quickly? The answer is they were flown, so to speak. It was as if an eagle took them from one place to the other, said everything was all good and everything was perfectly fine. This Rashi comes from Mechilta. The Mechilta from Rav Shimon Bar Yochai brings down that an eagle flies extremely high into the air, very, very quickly soars right up, and then can speed itself right down. The fastest bird, because I am a nerd, so I will point this out, the peregrine falcon. Falcon is the fastest bird in the world. It can go over 220 miles an hour in a dive up from the sky. It is by far the fastest animal on earth. There's nothing that comes anywhere near it. But they've been clocked at 232 miles an hour. They've been clocked at that. That's not normal, though. They're afraid of what it is, but 232 miles an hour. They even do, you've got to see the little test that they do with these things. There's such geeks out there in the world. There's a guy who ties a camera to the top of the peregrine falcon's head, and then sent it out of a plane and sent it down. So they showed the guy kick. There's a video camera from the plane. There's a video camera from the ground, and they're all like coordinating with each other of where exactly it's going to be. And there's a video camera from the bird. So you see them like going from the plane to the bird to the ground, like watching this peregrine falcon just go straight down to the earth. You got it. There's a lot of time wasted in this world. It's unbelievable. But they did clock it at 232 miles an hour. But that's the idea. This is Bnei Yisrael. We can soar to the greatest height so quickly. We can go all the way up and get Matan Torah without any preparations. Nothing there. And then we can fall straight down by the Egel Azov. The Egel Azov, we can fall so quickly without doing anything, without anything. We just, all of a sudden, we just completely crash to the ground at 230 miles an hour. That's why the eagle is referenced over here. Says the Mechilta, Rabbi Akiva brings down, this refers to the day of Matan Torah. We all know what happened at Matan Torah. We received the Torah and God spoke. We fell back 12 mil. And the Malachim took us and brought us back 12 mil in front of Har Sinai again. Though we fell backward and then were put back. The concept is that just like they were able to fly back and fly forward as if they were on eagle's wings, here's what it means by eagle's wings. They were carried swiftly from one place to the other. So that's one translation. Eagle's wings mean swiftly. as quickly as can be, referencing how Bnei Yisrael went up and down as quickly as they could. Rashi then gives another shot. In his second shot that he says over here, the Kanfei Nisharim, he says, and by the way, there's a mistake in every Rashi you'll see in every Chumash out there. This is the same Rashi. Although it's separated in every Chumash, and there's a new Rashi, Al Kanfei Nisharim, it's a mistake. It should be a Dabar Acher. It's another shot in Rashi. They're just two different shots in the same concept, but it's not a different Rashi. It's just a mistake in everything out there. It seems to be, it's like a Nesher that carries its young. Now here's how it goes. Normal birds, regular birds, carry their young in their talons. Meaning if they need to carry their young from one place to the other, the little chicks from one place to the other and they can't fly, they grab them in their feet, with their feet, and they carry them from one place to the other. An eagle, however, and again, don't ask me, but we don't see eagles do it. I don't care. Okay, eagles, however, carry the little birds on their wings. Meaning, they fly and they carry it on top of them instead of on the bottom. The concept is that the little birds are afraid of the eagles. The eagles that are soaring up high. If they see the little babies on top, they're going to swoop down and grab the babies. So they keep the babies in their feet so the eagles don't see them. The eagles are only afraid of man shooting at them from below. They're not worried about anything else. So they keep their babies on top so that the babies are protected on their backs rather than their talons where they might be hit by any of the Arabs. The concept is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us. And that what it means by eagle's wings, it means protection. Just like by Mitzrayim, when the Mitzrayim were chasing after us, God took the clouds, put it behind the Jews, that when the Egyptians started throwing arrows and throwing missiles at Bnei Yisrael, the clouds caught the arrows, caught the blisteros, which are the catapults that were throwing things at the Jews. It caught them and bounced them back. God protected us. That's what the Kanfei Nisharim are. They protect the young from what's below them, and that's the concept that we're referring to over here. The Rabbeinu B'chaya says, but according to that mashal, it shouldn't be Kanfei Nisharim, as in plural birds. It's one Nesher. It should be one eagle that protects its young. He took us out with one, like one Nesher, like the wings of one eagle that protects its young. And the pshat is like this. There were two things that protected Bnei Yisrael. There was an Amud Anan, a cloud that stood behind them during the day. And what happened at night? They had an Amud Eish Belaila, that pillar of fire that went by them at night. So there were two protections that they had, and thus it says Kanfei Nisharim. The Chidush HaRim understands it in the following way. As soon as the Jews left Egypt, the angels started getting involved. The angels started accusing and arguing and doing everything they could to knock down the Jews. He said, listen, all these people are worshipping idols. The Egyptians are worshipping idols. The Jews are worshipping idols. What's the difference between these guys and those guys? Everybody is into idol worship. Why should they be around? You know what God did? God protected us. He took us out of Egypt without answering the question. And then all the malachim started going on a Kodesh Baruch. God, why did you do this? And he said, I'd rather have you have the questions on me than try to argue with the Jews. He tried telling them by protecting the Jews and saying, I'm not going to answer the question because really, we didn't deserve to be saved. Really, it was only the chesed of Hashem that took us out. He protected us, says the Chidush HaRim, and that's the reason why it's done. The Chasam Sofer says, that's why we're compared to eagles and not doves. Bnei Yisrael always compared to doves. Yonah. We're compared to a dove. Now, to be honest, I don't know how to translate the word Yonah either. If it's a dove, a pigeon, it's supposed to be that just like doves stay together with their mate for life. They mate with one animal for life and that's it. They don't have any other wives. So too, Bnei Yisrael only connected to God and they never switch it around for Avodah Zarah and they never switch it to anything else. But that's the pshat. And Nesher has four problems. Does anybody know the simanim of a kosher bird? Of course, why would you, right? Yeah, it's got to fly. Duck and chickens don't. Right. What we have? I'm sorry. Well, it's those that not kosher shmini. Those that are mentioned. The ones that are mentioned in the parsha are the ones that are not kosher, right? Those are the ones that are not kosher. So anything not mentioned should be kosher, but it can't be. There's only about 35 species that are mentioned inside the parshas. So what are you going to do with the other ones? So the Gemara Kulin. I'm sorry. That's one. Gemara Kulin mentions four things. It can't be a carnivore. Can't be a bird of prey. Number two. It has to have a folded up stomach. Korkovo Niklas. Number three, it has to have a fourth finger. And I know that sounds strange. Birds do have fingers on their wings. It's got to have an extra finger on the wing that's right around there. And number four, it's got to have something called a crop, which is a certain part of the stomach. If the bird has all those four, then it's kosher. If it doesn't have one of those four, just missing one, it's no longer kosher.
All those four are found in turkey.
I'm sorry?
All those four
are found in turkey without a question. The kasha is a turkey a carnivore, right? But No, it's not. Okay? Sometimes maybe it'll eat a rat, but who wouldn't eat a rat if you had a chance, right? You know? That's what I'm saying. Aside from that, we also say nowadays you really have to have a mesora to eat a lot of these foods. So as much as everybody wants to go to those, you know, those random shchita parties that they have in all those places, you really got to ask a shali to a rav if you can eat this stuff, like all the crazy animals that they bring down there, because we have no mesora for that. They claim they have a mesora from these Yemenites in the middle of nowhere. Shkaya, Yemenite people, I appreciate that, but does that mesora work for me as well? You guys also do some crazy stuff, so I don't know. That's the bit of a kasha that you have to ask a rav via four to go. Here's the deal with a nesher. A nesher is missing everything. It doesn't have any of those simanim. It has four simanei tumah. Here's why we're compared to a nesher over here. Because when we left Egypt, we were garbage. We were on the 49th level of tumah, and we had no kedusha. There was no redeeming quality by Bnei Yisrael. And I know they didn't speak Lashon Hara, they didn't change their clothes, they didn't change their language, etc. I understand that. But there was nothing great about the Jews. They were no different than anybody else. Everybody had redeeming qualities. Every nation had a redeeming quality. What was the difference between us and them? Why were we any different from them? And here's the pshat. Even though we were like Nisharim, even though we were disgusting, we were birds that were tameh, nonetheless, the Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out. And that's the protection. We went out on eagle's wings. Even though we were like eagles, God flew us out of Mitzrayim, says the Chassam Sofer, and that's there. As we all know that I learn Zohar every night. So in the Zohar, it says that the Nesher stands for Rachamim. Rachamim, in mercy. Because that's how it takes care of its young. Now, I don't know all this stuff. I can just tell you what it says. The Kisei HaKavod, the throne of glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has four pictures on it. Okay, the four pictures are Adam, a human being which looks like Yaakov Avinu. There's an axe, a shore, on one side that eventually got turned into a kruv. That's a story for another time. There's an Aryeh, a lion, and then comes the Nesher, the eagle. Those are the four pictures that are on the Kisei HaKavod. Okay? Each one of them, by the way, stood for one of the Degolim. Each one stands for a different Malach. Gavriel, Rafal, Michal, Uriel. Each one stands for a different direction, north, south, east, and west. And by the way, that's Gemara, by the way. When you learn Gemara, that's why you're protected by all the powers of the Kisei HaKavod, because Gemara stands for Gabriel, Michal, Rafal, Uriel. Right? That's why you're surrounded by those malachim. You have the Kisei HaKavod coming down to be able to help you. That's the concept of what you're supposed to do. Now, here's the pshat. Each one stands for something different. Adam is chesed. Obviously, that refers to how Kadosh Baruch Hu deals with us. Shor is Midas Adin. If you want proof on that, that's the Ramban, that the Egel is of. That's why they made an Egel, they made a cow, because that stands for Midas Adin, the Midah of Din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nesher is Rachamim, mercy, where there's Din with Chesed together. And Aryeh is Malchus, the king of the beasts. Right? He is known as the king itself. There are Malachim that are together with the Nesharim, with the eagles, that protect Bnei Yisrael from many things. We all know about Ben Nates, right? If I were to say Ben Nates, everybody would be like, oh yeah, Ben Nates, right? You know, he's the Malach that keeps the world running. There's a Malach called Ben Nates. It's mentioned in Bava Basra Chafei that stands in front of the southern wind to stop it. You know, I didn't actually check up the ground. I'm pretty sure it's a southern wind. I forgot to check it out. But I'm pretty sure he stops the southern wind, because if the southern wind would go unstopped is not a word, without being stopped, and would come into the world, it would destroy the entire world. It looks like an eagle. That's the concept that Nisharim are supposed to protect and do things for, and that's the concept, says the Zohar, or based on that, based on the Yalkut Reuveni, right? This is the concept of that stands for Rachamim. We're going to come back to that a little bit later, but that's there. That's our two pshatim. I'm sorry? I think it's sort of a line, like Bas Yana is an ostrich. It doesn't mean it's a daughter of Yana, right? It just means, like, that's the name. Sort of like a Bas Kol. Bas Kol doesn't mean a daughter of a Kol. Kols don't have babies, and if they do, it would probably be a son. It wouldn't be a Bas. So Bas Kol is just the name. It's known as that. You could say maybe it's a size more than anything else. That's our second pshat. So far we have two pshat. Either eagle's wings refers to speed, or eagle's wings refers to protection, and both of those are brought down by Rashi. Then comes the Sforno. The Sforno says a bit differently. The eagle can fly to heights that no other bird can reach. It can go all the way up high to a point where all other birds are looking up to it. All the people on the ground are looking up to it. Nobody can be above that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Jews separate from all the other nations of the world. So he put them, so to speak, on the wings of eagles to separate them, to bring them up, to raise them above the level of everyone else there. So when everyone else is on the ground and they feel like they're connected to one another in some way, the Jews are different. They were raised above that level, not allowed to be on that level, so that they would be different. It's not that we have to be, you know, stay away from non-Jews as much as possible. It's the sense that Jews Jews should know how different we are and different things that we do. That's the concept of what it stands for. Says the Malbim, when the Jews hang out with other nations of the world, they sink to the lowest levels of depravity. There's no worse level than a Jew can get to. Whenever you hear something crazy that happens, it's always a Jew. Well, I shouldn't say that. When they're killing Jews, it's not always a Jew. But everybody else. Jews are the worst. We go all the way up high. We could be the greatest of the great, but we can go all the way down low. And there's really, it's so terrible what we had. We go to Egypt, not only do we act like the Egyptians, we go lower than what the Egyptians ever wanted. We couldn't stand being in their land. We were filled with everything that they were up to. We started going into it, and we started going, and that's the shot. We have to be lifted up high to be taken out of that system, because when with everyone else, we start acting like them. It's not just a coincidence that Jews, wherever they go, start looking like the nation that they're in. It's true everywhere. If we live in Arabic lands, we start looking like Arabs. If we live in Ashkenazic lands, like in Europe, we start looking like them. It's not just because we marry into the system and there's Gerim around. It's because we are able to adapt better than any other nation in the world. There's nothing like us when that. And that's the pshat, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avies Chamelai, I will bring you to me. I'm going to help you. I'm going to put something on. I'm going to help you when it comes to stuff like this. Rav Shamshin Rafolhirsch, and only he could say something like this, because I don't think anybody else knows this, says the word Nesher is a combination of the word Nazer and Netzer. Nazer is to keep far away. Netzer means to protect. The eagle soars to the greatest heights, and it protects its young, but it's protected from everyone else because of how high it goes, and it separates itself from other people. And that's why we're compared to the Nesher. That's why we're referring to the Nesher, so that we stay away from everybody who tries to do us harm. Says the Netziv, and here's the real point, and this is the real point of what we wanted to get to over here. The Netziv says that Matan Torah is supposed to represent our marriage to God. That, so to speak, everything that Matan Torah stands for in this week's Parsha, and when we receive the Torah, it's the ability of God literally putting a ring on our fingers and saying, Hare at mikudeshes li b'tabazu. You're married to me. We're God's wife. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the man. He's the mashpia, the one giving over. We're the mekabel, we're the recipients of all of this chesed, of everything He gives us. Har Sinai was the chuppah. That was supposed to be the chuppah. Meaning the kiddushin happened in Mitzrayim, and that's what we say, by the way, when we put on tefillin, Be'irastich li le'olam, right, that I am engaged to you today, and that's the ring around our finger. Okay, it goes around the finger, it goes right around there, the ring finger and the middle finger, right, that right around there, that's Be'irastich li le'olam. Har Sinai was the chuppah. It was a chuppah of like Mr. Clean, because it stood on top of everybody, but that was our chuppah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu married us, and we no longer have the ability. Sometimes we can feel like we're being divorced, right, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems like He's staying away from us, but usually it's because the wife has cheated on him. That we have cheated on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and did other things. You know the famous line with Rabbeinu Gershom, right? The cherem, the Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom made he made many cherems. There were many excommunication factors that he made. Two of the things that he made was, number one, you can't marry more than one wife. Which everyone out there just started to, oh man, it's right there. Second thing he made is that you cannot divorce your wife against her will. Just like a woman can't force a divorce, a man is no longer allowed to divorce his wife against her will. Can't do a bal korcha. Why? Why did Rabbeinu Gershom make those? So the Hasidic Sforim all say the following. The Rabbeinu Gershom wanted to do the following. God is our husband, and we are the wife. He wanted to make sure, if we paskin a halakha down here, that halakha applies in Shemayim as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to hold of the halakha that we paskin in our Beis Din. He can't go against it. It's lo b'Shemayim. It's not in the heavens. It's down here for us. Law number one, you can't take a second wife. Meaning, you can't have another nation join us in accepting the Torah. It's too late. Once we accepted the Torah, no other nation is allowed to come in and join us. Do you want to be Megayer and be a part of our system? Fine. But you can't say, you know what, I've had it enough with the Jews, let's add on Yishmael to the system. Let's bring Yishmael in and I'll marry Yishmael as well. No, that can't happen. That's number one. Number two, we can't divorce us against our will. The husband cannot divorce against our will, meaning God can no longer divorce us against our very will. When we say no, God, we still want you to be our God, we still want you to be our husband, He can't say, I don't want you to be my wife anymore. No matter what we do, how bad we go, however far low we get, nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always remain our husband no matter what. That's the concept of the Rabbeinu Gershom. Gershom came up with, and this is the idea, says the Netziv. Now, what is the husband chayiv for when taking care of his wife? Chayiv to be mefarnes her, to give her time, where he spends time together with her, to make sure that she has everything she needs when it comes to food and clothing. These are the ideas of what a husband must give his wife, and it's written in every ksuba. You have to give parnasa, you have to give clothing, you have to give time to your wife. You can't just ditch her and say, I'm going here, you take care of things on your own. You have to be able to give her that time. You have to make sure she has enough money for food and clothing. That has to be done and everything there. And that's the concept that Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing to us. God promised us two things. He promised us he will carry us on his shoulders, literally put us on the back of eagles, that even when we're babies and we can't walk, he'll carry us and make sure we get to where we need to go. And number two, even when we're little toddlers that we're bouncing around and we can't really walk straight, God will put down his hand so we can hold it, and it'll take us wherever we need to go, lead us along wherever we need to go. That's the concept. Those are the two parts over here. Sometimes our parnas is going to come without us doing a thing. There's going to be mud that's dropped in front of us in the desert. I'm not going to do a single thing. I'm not going to lift up a finger, and yet I'll have all the money that I need, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking care of us, putting us on his shoulder and say, here you go. And then there's other times where we have to do a little bit of ishtadlus. We got to get up. We got to do something. Do whatever it is, whether it's job interview or making your resume or doing whatever it is, and then eventually get the job. But nonetheless, don't think that it was you. I did everything. I made my resume. I interviewed well. I did everything. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping you along the way, holding your hands. You're just a little toddler who could trip over his own feet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing it to you. It's not you that aced the interview. It's not you that got that job in that Fortune 500 company. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping you allow yourself to do it. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. I brought you on Kanfei Nesharim. I carried you on eagle's wings. Meaning, I did everything for you. And I will do everything for you. You'll have the mun now in the desert where it's going to be an obvious gift from God every morning. Every morning there's going to be white little fluffy marshmallows that are going to float down onto the earth. And you're going to pick them up and you're going to say, ice cream. And you're going to eat it and it's going to taste awesome. That's for now. But it's not going to last. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be a different life. But I'm still there for you. And when you ask me and you call me, it's there. That's the concept where we still have to be around in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of us. The Medrash Tehillim in Simen Memchet says that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Bnei Yisrael through the desert in Anane HaKavod and carried them, he's going to do so in the future as well. There will be Anane HaKavod that will carry us over to Eretz Yisrael. I know I said before I'm not going to talk about this regarding eagles. I'm not going to talk about, is an eagle an airplane? That's not my deal. Okay, I don't do that stuff. There will be, however, Anane HaKavod. I did see from Rav Olson once, who quoted a Sefer Be'er Mayim Chaim, that there will be a Kriyas Yamsuf for us here in America, that the Atlantic Ocean will split and we'll walk on the dry land all the way through to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, based on Rav Olson brings it down, it's based on the Sefer Be'er Mayim Chaim. I cannot wait. I can't wait to see the look on the scientist's face where it's like, well, with that wind, I cannot wait for them to have to figure out how it could have happened. It's unbelievable. I am waiting for that moment. And not only are we going to have that little dry land, it's Anane HaKavod. We're going to be surrounded with the clouds of glory protecting us from everything that you could possibly imagine. We're looking on the side and we're seeing whales inside. We're going to have 12 splits just like the Shvatim. Everyone's going to be in their own separate home. We're going to be able to see through everything that we mentioned in the Yam Suf of last week. Everything will happen again for us. And that's again what we're referring to over here when it says that we're going to fly on eagle's wings. In the future, that's how it's going to be for us. Hopefully we'll all be alive for it. We'll all be able to see it ourselves without anything. But there's more. An eagle can see things from a tremendous height, can see, they have unreal eyesight. They can see things with ultimate clarity. They can see a tiny little mouse. I don't know if anybody was in Skokie Yeshiva at the time, but we used to have a pet eagle. It wasn't an eagle, it was a hawk, right? I think it was a hawk or something, or a falcon, I don't remember what it was. But he used to sit in one of the trees up there. I don't know what happened to it. I hope nobody like shot it down or anything. But it was a huge thing. Exactly. I didn't want to say your name, so we won't say your name there, yeah. But there were people who ended up throwing mice down into the fields, just little tiny mice, threw them into the fields, and the hawk saw it in a second, flew down, grabbed it, and then went back up to go eat it. Now, whether or not that's cruel and disgusting, if you're a sick person, if you may be a mass murderer in the future because of that, I have no idea. That I have absolutely no idea. Nonetheless, it's amazing. Their eyesight is crazy. They can see the difference in movement. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Owls can do it at night. Now, these guys can do it during the daytime when there's something there. They don't have good eyesight at night. Owls can do so at night, and they have ears. It's so crazy stuff. It's just unbelievable stuff what they're able to do. See, what do we learn from something like that? This represents how God looks down at the world. God looks down from up above, so to speak, and sees every detail. Not just the generalities of where everybody is and where everybody's holding, but every single detail with unbelievable clarity. He sees everything going on. He said everything is there, and even though we don't know what He's doing, we have to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of us in the best way possible. We don't know what hit us. That's the concept of what the Nesher means. Looking down at us and taking care of us at every step of the way. Now here's the hint. V'etzel Eschem. This is mine, but I hold it's true. Esau, as I said before, Esau stands for Aryeh, Shor, Adam. The three sides of the Kisei HaKavod. Aryeh, Shor, Adam. The Esau Eschem, Al Kanfei Nisharim. Together with the Nesher. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, when everything is there, and we don't always understand how all these things work, Midas Adin, Merachamim, Malchus, anything like that. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, He's taking care of us, that's what He means by Nesher, and that's what it means. And we all know the line from Perkei Avos, Have a kal kanesher, be light-footed like an eagle, soar up to the highest level, and then you can see. You know what you really got to do? Go get a fish tank. Because you can go play your own little god. Lowercase g. Okay? Where you have everything. You want food? You want food? I'll give you food. Know that it's all coming from me. And you can imagine the little fish sitting inside there with their 7 second, you know, memory thing. You know that's me every single morning. You have, with their 7 second memory lapse, right? And they're sitting there every 7 seconds, they're like, oh, I just found food. You didn't find food, fish. I gave you that food. It's all me. I'm the one. That's the concept. Now, obviously, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me the food to be able to go. The dialogue. That's why I don't tape myself anymore. I used to tape myself, but no longer is it over there. That's that. The last line that we're going to get, the last thing that we're going to go through is a crazy Yonas Menuziel. The Yonas Menuziel says that they were brought on clouds from Mitzrayim on the day of Pesach, of the night of Pesach. They were brought on clouds to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, this is while they were in Mitzrayim. In Yerushalayim, and they ate the Korban Pesach on Har HaMoriah, on the Makom HaMikdash. Every single Jew. Every single Jew. They all went there, says the Yonas Menuziel, and then right after they finished eating the Korban Pesach, they went right back to Egypt. They were flown back to Egypt. He says, that's what it means by flying you on Kanfei Nisharim. It's not a remnant. It's what actually happened. He brought us to Israel to eat the Korban Pesach and then brought us back to go to Mitzrayim so we could leave Mitzrayim on our own. So if somebody ever asks you, did Moshe Rabbeinu ever make it to Eretz Yisrael? You answer, yes. Once. On the eagle's wings when he ate the Korban Pesach, according to Yonas Menuziel. The Mechilta seems to say this as well, that they went there as well. Now we have to understand something over here. What does this mean and what are we trying to get to? Now we get a Rav Olson, Rav Moshe Olson. He quotes the Tzara Shlomo the Radomsker that says, when we eat matzah on Pesach night, with the proper kavana, with the proper intentions, the right things inside our head, when we eat matzah on that night, we can literally put ourselves in the Makom HaMikdash. We can be as if we're eating the Korban Pesach in the Makom HaMikdash itself, even though we're in Chutz La'aretz, even though we're only eating matzah, we could be as if we have it. It would be almost like Tipsas HaDerech, and we find ourselves all the way in Eretz Yisrael itself. I want you to think about this. The Jews put blood on their doorposts, right, in Mitzrayim during that time. They put blood on their doorposts. It wasn't just them that went to Mitzrayim. Their whole houses picked themselves up and flew to Eretz Yisrael to eat in the Makom HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. That's what it was supposed to be like. And we have to picture that for ourselves to see that it's there. You know what the Tzanzarov used to do? Tzanzarov, after he ate the Afikomen, Tzanzarov used to wipe his mouth from the juices of the meat of the Korban Pesach. He was so there that while he was eating the matzah, it felt to him like he was eating the Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim, that he literally had to wipe his mouth to get rid of the extra little, the drippings of the Korban Pesach that he put inside his mouth. That's awesomely trippy. Without a question. There's a way of doing it. There's a way of having that in your head and putting yourself there and literally allowing yourself there. Now do you understand why the Jews couldn't leave their houses until morning? They couldn't leave because they had literally flown to Eretz Yisrael. You walk outside, you're going to find yourself in Israel. They couldn't walk outside. They weren't allowed to. It was as if they were traveling there. And that's why we say even nowadays, Kol Yitzrich Yesei V'Yisach. Anybody wants to come and eat the Korban Pesach with us? We don't have a Korban Pesach. But to think that we have the Korban Pesach, that's what it's all about. And that's why right after we say, Kol Yitzrich Yesei V'Yisach, what do you say right after that? Come on, guys. It's Avad Imayinu. You only say it once a year. I know. Kol Yitzrich Yesei V'Yisach, what? Hashata Hakol. We have to remind ourselves that right now we're here. Because we're thinking Korban Pesach. We have to think to ourselves, Hashata Hakol, right now we're over here. To end, says the reason why, according to Yonas and Uziel, it's eagles and not anything else. Why an eagle? I mean, according to this, it could have been clouds. It's not Kanfei Nisharim. We went on clouds over to Yerushalayim. Why is it eagles? He says the following. The Nesher is on the west side of the Kisei HaKavod. The Nesher represented the Degel, the flag of Shevet Dan. If you guys look at pictures of Shevet Dan, you're usually going to see a snake. Shevet Dan is the snake. The snake on the path representing Shimshon, it's usually there. The cool thing is, the Rabbeinu Bachaya says, it's not just a snake, it's a snake with eagle wings. Which means it's a dragon. That's a stump. That's the way to learn it. It's an eagle-winged dragon, little snake-like creature that flew. That's the picture that Dun had on his machmeh. Now, why that over anything else? Dun was kicked out of the Adonai HaKavod due to their sins. They had done wrong things, and they weren't allowed in the Adonai HaKavod, according to Yonas Menuziel later on. Says Rav Olson, even though your sins take you out, the Nesher brings you back. The Nesher that was on the Degel of Machne Dan protected them, even though they were outside the Anani HaKavod, and eventually put them back in to the Anani HaKavod and gave them the protection that they needed. And that's what it means for us. We Jews, and especially the Jews of Eretz Mitzrayim, are represented by a Nesher, by an eagle. And what that means is that we have the Rachamim of Hashem, that even when we do something wrong, we can always bring ourselves back. We can always pull ourselves back and do what we need to do to bring ourselves back to where the Beis HaMikdash is, to eat the Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim, or to just be Jews that understand where HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands and what we're doing. That's the concept of what this stands for. We're going to stop with that, guys. So we're going to go through again. There were four parts over here. There was number one, the Nesh represents how we went quickly from one place to the other, or represents protection, or represents soaring to huge heights, being able to be there quickly, but going up to the highest heights and looking down at what needs to be done. And the final one is the concept of the clouds and how we travel to eat the Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim. We'll stop with that, guys.